Hello, everyone, and welcome again to another episode of M365 Voice. My name is Mike Marlani.
I'm Sarah Hazy.
And I'm Antonio Mayo.
We're playing ourselves today, but I feel like I should start this call like this because.
The things we say and we laugh about before. We should actually make an episode about what we do before we start.
Compose ourselves.
We should. In this case, I was the weak link. Helps if I'm paying attention.
Yeah, but it's fun. That's what makes this podcast fun.
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to continue again with our series of Copilot, and there has been quite a bit of updates that have been released or announced in the last month or so. I think we should talk about them. I think there was also a blog that came out that talks about what's new in Copilot. So we should probably address some of them.
Where do you want to start?
I don't know. What's the best one? What's the one that you love to kind of like?
Should we start with something we love as opposed to something that we don't? Because I think we have some of both.
We do.
Sure.
Want me to start?
Go for it.
Sure.
Okay. All right. So one that I love, actually. So back in, was it May? I think it was May. I was at the RSA conference in San Francisco, and I was fortunate to get to go to the Microsoft pre-day and see the announcements firsthand and live that Microsoft was making at RSA. And for those that don't know, RSA is the largest security conference in the world. It's always hosted in San Francisco at the Moscone Center sometime in the spring. And Microsoft has a pre-day on the Sunday where they bring partners in, they bring important customers in, and they do this big show around the new security capabilities that they're launching. And one of the big features that they're launching is something called the AI Hub within Microsoft Purview. And the AI Hub it's not entirely new, and I'll get to what I mean by that. It is a set of features now integrated into a new panel in Microsoft Purview, in the Purview portal, that allows you to see which generative AI solutions people in your organization are using. It's actually monitoring on people's endpoints. You know, are you going to ChatGPT? Are you going to Claude? Are you going to DALL-E? Are you going to Copilot? And it actually will show you analytics and stats on which solutions are people using. It will also allow you to enforce policies to limit which solutions people can use.
And this is across a variety of device types, including things like Intune managed devices?
It is. It is across Windows 10 and Windows 11 devices specifically. I can't remember if it's supported on Mac, so that's something I do have to check on, but at least Windows 10 and 11. It requires devices to be onboarded to Defender for Endpoint in passive mode, because it's effectively using the Endpoint DLP features on, actually it is support on Mac, because it is using the Endpoint DLP features to enforce this. So in the past, you could do that monitoring with Defender for Cloud Apps. So you could actually monitor if you had deployed Defender for Endpoint in passive mode across your endpoints. You could monitor which sites are people going to, which apps are people using. So basically, they've repurposed those policies within the Purview portal to monitor generative AI. And there was, at the time, at least 22 different generative AI solutions it could monitor for. And then the enforcement of policies on that is happening through endpoint DLP-like capabilities. So you can see things like, which generative AI solutions are people using? Are people putting sensitive data into those AI solutions? And you can actually block them from doing some of that also.
So I'm assuming those devices will have to be managed devices to be able to take advantage of that AI hub?
They will need to be onboarded to Defender for Endpoint, passive mode, at least, which onboards them for Endpoint DLP. So really, they need to be onboarded for Endpoint DLP.
Got it.
In order to onboard them for Endpoint DLP, we usually onboard them for Defender for Endpoint and passive mode.
Huge feature, though, especially for any organization or for organizations that have quite a bit of rigor around data protection and security and privacy, because the things that you always, that sometimes you can't control, is whether or not people are having work conversations on an app like WhatsApp, or if they're actually taking work data and plugging it into ChatGPT, even on their work computer or on their Mac device or their iOS device, and then you have data leakage, right? So I'm assuming that that's what the design point is, to control that data leakage in your environment.
That's exactly it. One of the big concerns with generative AI solutions we've heard from customers is, what kind of data are they putting in those solutions? Right. And this allows you to see that and enforce some policies around that.
Very neat. Is this, you said this was new. Is it new in 2024?
It is out now in preview. So it literally, the day after they announced it at RSA, it became available to people in public preview. Public preview. So you can go see it now in the preview portal. Yeah.
Might be a really long tail to get this if people don't have all of those devices managed from an endpoint perspective with passive monitoring.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So that's my favorite feature.
I like that. I've been actually asked a couple of times in the past about how can you ground file share? And I think it's coming up with Copilot connectors. So they have announced that you can create your own connectors, and file share is one of them. So there's a whole bunch of connectors that you can create using the Copilot Studio, whether you're going into the Power Platform, you're doing the Power BI, Fabric, DevOps, SQL databases, and file share. Because a lot of companies still have FileShare in place, and they want to ground FileShare copilots. Yeah. So that will be, and the way I was reading about it, it's not difficult at all to just go when you use the Copilot Studio to create your own connector. So that would be also a game changer in terms of consuming this data from outside your M365 as well.
That's neat.
Yeah. I'm amazed how easy Copilot Studio has made it to create your own Copilot.
Exactly.
It's literally a few clicks. Like it is surprisingly easy.
And the documentation works, actually. If you follow the documentation, it actually does work.
I always love it when the documentation works, but you do have to read it.
Yeah, yes. You do have to read it. Don't skip it a step.
Yeah, RTFM.
Yeah.
Oh. One of the things that I'm excited about that's on the What's New on Copilot list for this month that I actually need to try out is, I know that we've had previous conversations on the podcast about Planner and how I use Planner to be able to manage lightweight projects or work streams where we have a bunch of people have tasks that are working together. I always say less than 12 people, less than 200 tasks. Planner works great as a sweet spot for that. And one of the things that I love about Planner for that very lightweight projects is being able to run either scrum meetings or daily stand-up meetings by looking at what's on the board from a Kanban board perspective and what's coming up. I also like using it to ideate at the beginning of projects around what's happening. And there are a lot of Copilot integrations with Planner where I believe you can now actually give Copilot verbal items and tell it to create tasks in your planner and subtasks in your planner. Now, I'm a really fast typer. My mom was a business education teacher, so I type really fast. But for those people that don't, you could be on a meeting, you could be brainstorming tasks and subtasks, turn on Copilot, have it actually listen to your conversation, and I believe convert that into a written task and subtask list within Planner during your meeting. I want to test out how well this works, but I think it could be very handy for people instead of focusing on talking and clack, clack, clack typing at the same time.
Exactly.
That's very cool. I like this idea of adding new skills, I think they call it, to Copilot, where you can just tell it to do an action and it will actually do it.
Right.
Do you have to use a particular word to get it to create a task?
The ones that it says is that you can use natural language, for example, tell it to create a task or create a subtask or even assign dates to things or query Copilot, ask about status of tasks for a given planner plan. So as with a lot of things in Copilot, I think that the magic is learning how to say things the right way. Yeah. I have that same issue with my Amazonian circular devices where sometimes I don't get the command right and then you can't have what you want. So I think with Copilot, there will be that learning, and with a planner connector, but I'm interested to try that out.
Very cool.
Really cool.
What about things we don't like so much?
You know, one that I don't like.
I do.
So I do not like the restricted SharePoint search feature. I'm gonna offer a bunch of personal opinion here. It's a
Should we
horrible
talk about what
feature.
it is? It's a
Sure,
horrible feature.
sure.
So we'll give
So okay,
everyone
I'll
the
take that
moral of
back
the
for a
story
second.
is it's horrible, but let's tell them what it is first.
So restricted SharePoint search allows you to specify up to 100 sites which Copilot will use as part of the graph data that it accesses in order to provide you relevant responses. So you can basically restrict Copilot's access to up to 100 sites.
And these are not organizational news sites by feature. These are sites that you declare based on URL.
Correct.
Yeah,
Up
so
to
exactly.
100 as a hard limit.
That's right. Yeah. And yes, I don't like this feature for a couple of reasons. One, it turns off organization-wide search. So it doesn't only restrict Copilot accessing this data, it restricts your organization-wide search from accessing data within those sites as well. So it's a terrible idea from that perspective. But then also what it does is it creates a filter on the actual Copilot query. So every time you enter a query into Copilot, it has to filter the data that it searches on at runtime against these 100
So
sites.
it doesn't cache it because that
Yeah.
data can change over time. So it runs a
Correct.
clean query
Yeah.
every time.
So every query takes a hell of a lot longer because
Yeah.
it's filtering to those 100 sites.
The way I think it works technically is because it's this content technically had been crawled. And what it's doing is it's going into this index and getting all the content and filtering on them. And that's why it's really slow.
And the whole point behind why Microsoft created this feature, if I understand it correctly, is there is a challenge, real or perceived, but I think it's real for 99.9% of organizations, that content will be surfaced potentially by Copilot that people have permissioned incorrectly, meaning it has broader permissions than it should have. So
Correct.
it might show you something, Antonio, that while you have access to it, you might not have found if it wasn't for Copilot. You might not have seen if you hadn't asked Copilot and it surfaced it for you.
That's
So I
exactly right.
believe that this SharePoint restrictive search feature is meant to provide a way for companies to narrow the risk of surfacing the wrong things down to a curated set of SharePoint sites that are you've closely monitored your SharePoint permissions on, right? So that's, I think, the design. I can't argue with that as a for highly regulated industries as a goal. The problem is speed is important.
Exactly. The way Microsoft has positioned it, I think, is exactly like you've said, Sarah. It's to allow organizations to review how they're managing permissions, how they're managing content, how they're governing content, remediate permissions, and not lose momentum for rolling out Copilot. So not stop the rollout of Copilot because you first need to go re remediate your permissions everywhere. I think it's supposed to be a stopgap that you implement for a period of time. So we're going to restrict Copilot and enterprise search for a period of time while we go and remediate our permissions and roll out Copilot at the same time. And it's like,
It's en
okay.
it's enough to actually give you an ice cream headache.
Yes.
We've had so many episodes where we talk about security controls and governance. And even if you require people to review permissions and attest on a regular basis to the fact that they've reviewed them, they still don't, or they still do file level overrides. You're chasing after a reality that I think doesn't exist.
Agreed. Agreed. I think there are controls you can put in place to help mitigate that risk, but I think in any meaningful size enterprise, it takes time for that to kind of apply and get into the company culture.
Can I ask a question that might seem, I'm not sure it's an educated question. Antonio, do you think Microsoft would ever think about allowing companies to configure where, if they use sensitivity labels, from a purview perspective that they just disallow any sites or files with certain sensitivity labels from coming back and being surfaced via Copilot, as in your most sensitive information types.
So yes, I think Microsoft may go that route. You can do some of that today. So you can configure a sensitivity label, call it exempt from Copilot. Let's say that's the name of your label. And let's say that label provides read access, right? It first of all, it would have to encrypt the content.
Mm-hmm.
It would have to provide read access to the content, and you have to explicitly exclude the extract permissions. So if you remember,
that's not enough to just encrypt it, because Copilot could still read it if it's in your tenant. Right. So you have to specifically exclude it from Copilot. So you could alter your sensitivity label itself to include that exclusion parameter for any existing sensitivity label if you have them.
Correct. If you remember configuring sensitivity labels with encryption, you can actually get to a detailed level where you can control the specific sensitivity label permissions that it assigns. Mm. And there are a different set of permissions than SharePoint permissions. So think permissions like co-author, co-own, extract, print, forward. There's a bunch of them, and I don't know if I'm saying them all correctly, but one of them that is there is the extract permission. And that extract permission essentially allows you to copy content out of the document. So if you don't have that permission, you can't actually extract the content out of that document.
Right. And Copilot could neither. That won't fix documents or sites that are mislabeled.
Correct. The challenge I would foresee with that is if you were to bulk apply that label across a lot of your content in SharePoint Online, you are suddenly encrypting a lot of your content in SharePoint Online with a label, and you have to figure out who gets access to that label, right? Is it everyone in the organization?
Mm-hmm.
Is it just a subset of people? Is it a group that you configure in the label?
In order to exclude from Copilot, does it also have to encrypt? You have to have
it
both?
It does. Okay. Yeah, because you have to enforce permissions on it, and you specifically have to uncheck that extract permission. So you could do that today.
This whole concept of excluding from Copilot, maybe we should talk about why exclusion from Copilot, right? Because the SharePoint restricted search and what we're talking about is Copilot exclusion, because people are concerned about what Copilot will surface if it's permissioned badly, if it's not maintained well, right?
Correct. I do think there are valid use cases for it in some organizations where, let's say I've got a big part of my business is managing contracts, and those contracts contain sensitive customer data, and I've got them sitting all over here on these specific sites, and I do not want them included in Copilot responses because, well, they contain a lot of sensitive customer information. Or I've got personnel files that I'm storing in SharePoint, and they're all sitting in these sites, and they're well organized, and I want to exclude those. I can see it in business cases like that where I know where my sensitive corporate data is, and I just want them, you know, not to be included as part of this. I think it's too onerous to go and try to assign sensitivity labels to all that content, because there's all kinds of issues to bulk assigning sensitivity labels. You can do it, but it's not an easy task.
So what about instead of this, or in addition to this SharePoint restricted search where you specify sites to include within Copilot, would Microsoft consider the inverse, which is to exclude certain sites from Copilot? And could that speed up the process if there's less of them?
I would love that. I think that would be a much more effective feature, to be honest. You have to think about, does excluding them from Copilot mean excluding them from enterprise search? Because I don't think it should.
It shouldn't.
Right?
I think we should have like this two different indexes, right? One for the enterprise and one for the Copilot.
So that way you can separate them.
Yeah. Copilot runs off the semantic index, which is built off of the regular search index. I don't think they have the infrastructure in place behind the scenes to do that easily.
But I can understand such a straightforward use case for companies that need to exempt customer data exempt payment card information data or something from coming back in Copilot, which seems reasonable, and exempt that by sensitivity label or specific sites.
Yeah, exactly. I would love to see a feature like that evolve to not break enterprise search, and deal with more of the inverse use case, like what you suggested, Sarah, of exclude certain sites.
So Mike, how many, do you think many companies are going to start testing and using Copilot? And then only when something bad happens in terms of the wrong person seeing the wrong kind of file and it getting escalated, are they going to realize how big this pitfall spot is?
I say history repeats itself and it will happen again. We've seen that happen with Fast Search back in the days. Yeah. And we will see it happening again with Copilot when they are too ambitious. They're going to go and either pilot it or deploy it. And they're going to realize, oops, we have exposed a lot of data. And we're going to have to turn it off and go back into our governance and security trimming and make sure our security models are in place before we can roll it out again. I think so. That is going to happen for sure.
Now's the time to start an entire consulting practice on Copilot governance.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. So it's interesting. We've done, so Mike, to your point, I agree. I think history is going to repeat itself and this is going to happen. I think each organization needs to figure out what is your risk appetite for moving ahead with a generative AI solution like Copilot, which has a lot of great benefits, and dealing with the remediation of potential oversharing in parallel or separately, but still plowing ahead with Copilot. Because we've done these kinds of assessments for some of our clients and then presented the results. And in some cases, it has in fact stopped the rollout of Copilot and delayed it until we remediate everything. So when you have that conversation to look at, okay, here's what we've seen. We've did an assessment. Here's what we've seen. Here's what we think our risk level is. Having that conversation is an art because it's really easy to scare everybody into just stopping Copilot right now.
And there's a very short time to live on a remediation plan because go ahead, remediate your permissions. Every day, your permissions get farther away from you and where they should be. Mm-hmm. So just because you remediate it once, how are you going to automate that? Are you going to do it manually? Are you going to do it quarterly, semi-annually? How effective will that be? It's a never-ending growth opportunity. I was going to say challenge.
It becomes part of a data protection program that you have to put in place. That's not a one-time thing. It needs to happen 100%. On a regular basis.
Yeah, exactly. Because we've seen it. Permissions can get out of hand the second day you fix the permissions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's an ongoing thing.
Yeah.
Awesome. So. Any final thoughts? It's been a really good conversation.
It's an Alice in Wonderland moment.
Yeah. It is.
Going down the rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm. Going down the rabbit hole. You never know what you're going to see on the other side.
Yeah. A lot of great new features came out for Copilot in the last month. I think we're going to start seeing more every month. Right. The product team seems to be making a lot of progress on evolving features, rolling them out, adding more value to it. So excited to see what's coming through the summer.
Yeah, a lot more to talk about for sure. Well, that was awesome. It was a good episode. Stay tuned for more to come in the near future. Thank you for
joining. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, thanks, everyone. See you next time. Bye-bye.